Why do we all like music? Think about your favorite song. We might have different tastes, but we all know a song that speaks to us in some way, that brings back some warm, sweet childhood memories, that reminds us of a special person or a special moment in our lives. We all like music. Significantly, all cultures have music. The oldest musical instrument we found is some 40,000 years old. And this is very curious because when we think about this, we don't really need music to survive as we do need food or shelter. And yet there is no human history without music. We all like music. Our bodies, the physical parts of our bodies, actually move when a combination of sounds and silences enters our soul through our ears, which is a very strange phenomenon when you think about that, and yet one that no one has to teach a little child. We humans love music. Why? Because creation, which we contemplated last Sunday, is like music. The ancient Greeks spoke of the harmony of the spheres, the stars and planets, which are so impressive because of their size, are also very impressive because of their patterns, how they move, generating a sort of inaudible music. Some fathers of the church describe the action of Christ in creation, in ordering the material world, to the art of a musician, ordering sounds and voices. We are musical beings. So many things move in us, in our minds and in our bodies, like music, with order, with harmony. This is why we all like music. God loves music. Creation in itself, it's a beautiful harmony. But what do we experience day by day? Can we really describe life in 2021, as harmony? Probably not. Rather, we often encounter noise, confusion, and anger. The earth is not that beautiful harmony of inaudible music, but rather a place of conflict, with frequent natural disasters, with diseases that become pandemics, with societies that choose to live by lies. And our own souls are not in peaceful order all the time either. Often, very often, we do the bad things we would really not like to do. And we don't do the great things we would like to do. Why is this? Why is life not that beautiful harmony intended by God? Why are we all, no exception, divided inside of us between our great longings and our great limitations, between our good and bad desires? Why do kids don't need to be taught how to disobey? And you know that very well. Or the youth to explore what's forbidden? Why do adults and older people suffer because they can't change some bad habits? Why do we at times just stop caring? This is why. Because the devil is real. Our first parents fell into temptation, and sin was introduced into the world. And the damage caused is real and profound. We all know that there is something broken inside of us, that something doesn't work quite well. We are born with a mysterious, undeniable inclination to do bad things. God had a perfect plan for us. If you will, God had this perfect musical score for a harmonious creation. But the enemy convinced us that we need to be able to choose what and how to sing, rather than submitting to the impositions of the composer. The enemy damaged the score. It was meant for harmony. It frequently brings dissonance. C.S. Lewis wrote that demons hate music and silence. Hell, they say, is filled with noise. And the enemy wants to fill as well our lives and the whole world with noise, because that's how he prevents us to think, to reflect, to feel the pain of our sins, and to desire again and again the order and holiness we have been created for. But right now, as it is here at this Mass, we are filled precisely with what the devil hates and what God loves: music and silence. Silence to pause, to reflect, to reconnect with our longings, and to recognize without fear our brokenness. And music to be reminded that while the damage is real and profound, and we cannot fix it by ourselves, hope is even stronger. The very first words we sang at today's Mass that the Church sings on the second Sunday of Advent are a harmonious song of hope. Behold, the Lord will come to save the nations. And because he is coming, we must listen to John the Baptist, who today says to all of us, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. In the ancient world, when kings went to visit their different territories, the preparation consisted first and foremost in literally making straight those paths and smoothing everything so they can walk and arrive. How can we make the way smooth for the coming of the Lord? Silence, especially in these days in which there's so much going on, is essential. It's essential for reflection, for examining our lives. Confession before Christmas is a necessary step. Prayer, personal prayer, and liturgy are very important to stretch our desire for Christ. And this last point, desire, is crucial. We know very well that we're not talking here just about ideas, concepts. We all experience deeply both the longing for harmony and the frustration, the real frustration for our contradictions. We all want something better. We all need something greater. And the good news is that while the damage is real and profound, we don't need to resign ourselves to a dissonant life. God will not abandon his creation. He is coming to save us. We cannot fix this by ourselves, but he is coming to save us and to give us something even greater than what we lost. Next Sunday, we'll reflect on that. But now, with our whole hearts, with sincere desire and longing, we say, as we so frequently sing during Advent, come, Lord Jesus, come and don't delay. There is no sweeter melody than this hope.